Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
When the East is in the house.
What up, what up, what up? 8 o'clock on the East Coast, coming to you live from the capital city of North Kakilaki, Raleigh, South Side. It's the Ant Canary Experience. I'm your host, Ant Canary, and for the next hour and a half, we are going to be talking about all the stupid things that Republicans are doing right about now. And this past few days, they have done a whole lot of stupid things. But all these stupid things are dumb to us, but to them, everything they're doing this, there's a plan that they've hatched. And if you don't know anything about it, I'm going to tell you about it tonight. Hopefully you've been paying attention to what's going on and what these clowns are doing. And I got to say, this is probably the most corrupt group of people in government that I have ever seen in my life. And they have their fans so brainwashed that they don't even see this country was already jacked up to begin with. But these clowns are trying to make it even more jacked up. They think they're above the law. They think they can just do things because they just feel like doing it and want nothing happen to them. It's really jacked. And they're only doing this stuff. It's real simple. They're only doing a lot of stuff because of the color of their skin. It is that privilege that they can decide, you know, if Congress was, you know, calls you in to testify, your happy ass better be in there to testify. If that was anybody else, you, me, anybody else, we'd have our happy asses there and we'd be testifying. It's like going to court. If you got a court date, you have to go to court. If you don't show up to court, then they're going to get you. They're going to send out an arrest warrant, and they're going to come pick you up. It's the same thing here. They subpoena you. You're supposed to show up. You just don't say, well, I don't feel like coming, and I'm not going. Really? Any regular person, any citizen in this country did some kind of crap like that, they'd be sitting in jail. These people think they can do what they want to do. The title of tonight's show is Fear of a Black and Brown Planet. A few years ago, I did a show, Fear of a Black Planet, which was kind of talking about some of the stuff we're talking about tonight. But tonight, I'm going to tell you the plan that the people on the right have because they fear a black and a brown United States of America. And their plan consists of so-called immigration reform, these abortion bills that some of the states in the southern part of the country are passing, which are just stupid as hell, and the wall. And we haven't heard any talk about the wall lately because the wall is not being built. I mean, that's just bottom line. But these other things, but we're going to put all this stuff together and we're going to talk about tonight because they want to put these plans together because of one simple fact that they are trying to, there's something that's going to happen in this country in about 20 some years, and they're trying to divert it. But what they're trying to do is put these steps in place now to divert it. But it's one of those things where, you know, they can try all they want. It's not going to work. Let me give you the number to call. 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. You can call in if you want, or you can just sit back and listen. And I'll just give you this history lesson, which is either way fine with me. And I've got clips to play and information to read, so we're gonna have it pretty educated hour and a half, maybe a little bit longer, but we'll see. But like I said, immigration reform, these jacked up abortion bills that are being passed, and the wall. Now, how does all three of these fit together? They fit together like this. The immigration bill is designed to keep certain people out of this country, i.e. black or brown people, even though they won't admit to it, but that's that plan, immigration. You want to keep the black and the brown people out of the country. You don't mind if more white people come into the country, but if they're black or brown, you don't want them in the country. Where's that list? Oh, here it is. Here is a list of the countries that are on the banned list. And also these countries on this banned list, they're banned for two reasons. Because the people in these countries mostly are brown and they're Muslim. And the countries on the banned list are Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, Yemen, North Korea, and Venezuela. So A lot of those people in those countries are not white. They're brown, black or brown. But they're on the list because this administration does not want any more brown people in this country. That's why they said this country is full. That's straight bullshit. What this orange shit-gibbon needs to remember is that his people came from Germany. And I've talked about this before. His grandfather was a pimp and a drug dealer. Two of his three wives are from other countries. Now, and also, his wife, current wife now, I don't see why she stays with him. They managed to get her parents into the country. But after that, everybody else can't come in. We're full. So they've got this devious plot together where they put these three things together and then, you know, they want to keep everybody out. And I'll read you a little bit of his latest plan for immigration, which is not going to work. It's stupid as hell, and he knows it. He's dumb as fuck. He's got no clue. He just pulls stuff out of his butt every now and again because he doesn't know what he's doing. So we're going to push this aside just for a second. That's immigration. The next thing we're going to talk about at the immigration is abortion. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I support the women of this country. It's your body. You do whatever it is you want to do with it. And that's pretty simple to me. You know, I find it funny that, you know, we don't have women sitting in government telling men what they can and can't do with their bodies. And every time you turn around, you're hearing commercials about Viagra or the yellow pill. I can't think of the name of that stuff. But we sell that stuff all day long. I mean, radio commercials, TV commercials, in the papers and magazines all day long, da-da-da-da-da. But then at the same time, these same clowns, you know, they don't mind telling women what they can and can't do with their own bodies. But the reason why they're doing that, and I'm going to read an article in just a second, white women in this country are not having babies like they used to. So the numbers are down. And the only way to get the numbers up is to have more kids. But they're not having more kids because kids are expensive. I've got two. And they're expensive as hell. And a lot of people are not having kids because they're expensive. And so the numbers are down, and so it's projected by 2040, 2045, something like that, white people will not be the majority in this country. The majority in this country is going to be black or brown, probably brown. And they can't accept that because they all forever going around pretending that this is their country. And if you don't agree with what they're saying, then you should leave. And my answer to those peckerheads, and they tell you that stuff all the time on social media. They won't tell you that stuff to your face, but they tell you that, you know, and my thing is, okay, you want me out? Come put me out. I triple dog dare you to come over to my house and pack my stuff and put me out of this country. That's not going to happen, and they know it, but they talk all this yin-yang because for some reason they seem to have this idea that this is their country. And what they fail to realize is that their ancestors came over from Europe and took this country. Now, my thing is, if, you know, you can tell me to leave. How about you leave? You go back to Europe. You want to tell me to go back to Africa? You go back to Europe. How's that? So these abortion bills, which if you notice, if you look at a map, there's always southern states in the country. These are the same southern states, a lot of them, that were in the Confederacy back in the day, and that they fought the Civil War because they wanted to own people, period. End of discussion. That's it. They tried to pass a bill here in North Carolina. It passed, and the governor vetoed it. Because he knew, I mean, because at that time, Republicans were talking about, well, oh, the babies are born, and then as soon as the babies are born, they put the baby in a blanket, and then they take it somewhere and they kill it. That's bullshit. That doesn't even happen. That's murder. And I had a heated discussion about that last week. That's murder. Now, what doctor in his right mind is going to put his livelihood, his freedom, everything on the line to kill a baby like that? Really? That makes no sense. That is stupid. Only reason they came up with that crap is to scare people. And it's working. People believe that. You know, they don't have brains of a billy goat to believe, you know, that happens. That does not happen. But that's what they think. So the numbers are down. They've got to get the numbers back up. They're not going to get back up because people are not having babies like they used to. So they figured, hey, if it gets to a certain time in the pregnancy, then you can't have the kids. Doesn't matter. You know, you can be raped by a family member or somebody you don't even know, and you still got to keep that kid. And then if a doctor does an abortion, 99 years in prison, that's more time than the fucking rapist. See, a lot of this stuff, you know, people, I'm telling you, if you're not paying attention to the news now, you need to start paying attention to the news and you need to start reading. That makes no sense. So you're going to tell me if there's a woman in Alabama, which I am never going to Alabama, or Mississippi, or any of those backwards-ass redneck states, that if a woman in Alabama gets raped by somebody she doesn't know, and by the way, rape is not consensual. She gets raped. If it gets to that point and she doesn't know she's pregnant and it goes over the limit and she's pregnant with a rapist baby, she's got to have that baby. Point blank, that's it. She got to have it. She's got no say in the matter. Now, if that doesn't sound dumb to you, I don't know what, that's just stupid. All of this is about getting numbers back up and control. That's all it is. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are women all over the place that are pissed about this. And the thing that bugs me out is a lot of these women that support Trump, that voted for him, you know, if this message doesn't pop them upside the head and they don't flip on this clown, there's no way in the world he's getting back in. I don't think he's getting back in anyway. But these women are about to flip and vote for the other side. And the wall is just basically this clown made a promise that he can't keep, and he knows it, and his nut-hugging fans know it, but he is not going to build a wall, and Mexico is not going to pay for it. Mexico told him to kick rocks. They're not paying for a wall. And there's no way you're going to be able to build a wall anyway. If you look at the makeup of the border, there's mountains, there's hills, there's water. So there's no way you're going to build a wall on the border. And if you do build a wall, guess what? MAGA. Mexicans always gets in, something like that. I think that's what they name. MAGA. Mexicans always gets in. Gets in, whatever. So they can either go around it or over it or under it. Or they can just blow the fuck out of it. Blow it up. That's possible. So there's not going to be a wall. So you put those three things together, and that's what's happening. And the white supremacists are loving it. because they got to get these numbers up. You know, and what's jacked up about all this too, Republicans, they come up with the same crap. Oh, you know, life, blah, blah, blah. They care for the baby. You know, they don't care about the baby. They don't care about the baby. They care about the baby until it's born. And when it's born, they don't give a damn. They only care about that baby up until it gets to the point where that baby gets old enough to join the military. Because they got to have people to fight the wars. You know, it seems like every major war we had, a Republican was in charge when we had it. Daddy Bush had the Desert Storm. The second Bush had the Iraq War. And by the way, on 9/11, the attackers were from Saudi Arabia. So if anything, we would have had a war with Saudi Arabia, but we can't have a war with Saudi Arabia because that's where a lot of the oil comes from. So they made up a lie about Saddam Hussein, and they attacked Iraq, and you had the Iraq War. And now the orange shit giving in office now wants to start a war with Venezuela, North Korea, and Iran. Because he's got nothing better to do, and plus his numbers are going down. You know, the thing is, whenever your numbers start plummeting, go start a war with somebody. And that'll take everybody's attention off your numbers, and then they'll put it on that. So not only all this other stuff that's going on, he wants to start wars with all these countries because, you know, whatever. So these Republicans only care about the baby until it gets old enough to join the military, and then, you know, because if they cared about these kids, they wouldn't be cutting these programs, the food programs, the school programs, food, school, the health program. They wouldn't be cutting these programs. If they love these kids so much, why are they cutting all these programs? Because they don't give a damn about these kids. They could care less about these kids. They don't care about it. They know it, and we know it. So, before I play the clips and read the articles, we've got a phone call. And let me make sure I hit the button. Hey, what's up? Welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. You sound like a new caller. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm calling from Minneapolis.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. All right. You go ahead and talk. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was hoping to talk a little bit about abortion and about the whole legal immigration issue and maybe offer a slightly different perspective on it. And
okay.
Just specifically from the black perspective, when it comes to abortion is there's the propaganda and then there's the real history behind it. The propaganda is this is about a woman's right to choose. This is about women's bodies, women's rights. This is the smokescreen. Okay, the real history behind abortion has everything to do with the eugenics movement in the 1900s. That's where it came out of. That's where it was popularized. We're talking about the 1920s, 1930s, around this time period. Now, for those who don't know what eugenics is, okay, so you're aware of what I'm talking about.
I did a show
on
that.
Oh, yeah. So we, and I'm sure you're aware of the history of Margaret Sanger, who's the founder of Planned Parenthood, and her thoughts on abortion and how she wanted to use it to reduce the numbers of certain people, what they consider the undesirable people. One of those happened to be black. So the whole issue of abortion is always it's everything to do with population control, especially for specific groups. It was never anything to do about women or anything. That's all nonsense. They're trying to cut down the population because along with the eugenics movement, you fast forward to the 1970s. Remember, there was a very popular notion. The way people talk about climate change now, they were saying there's too many people on the planet. And we're going to run out of resources. And they talked about how human beings are, quote, unquote, a drain on the planet. And so you have people who came up with that thinking, and that's where they started pushing this. That That's why in places like America and Europe, where they've really pushed this whole propaganda, you see the birth rates have gone down significantly. But in other parts of the world where they don't push the propaganda, the birth rates don't go down. Because this is a school of thinking that thinks that, number one, there are too many people, and two, that people are some type of a cancer to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who thinks that way is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's why I don't accept this nonsense. And to this idea that I can't believe what they're doing in Alabama and Georgia and stuff. Let's remember what happened in New York and Virginia just a couple months ago. They passed laws there allowing for third-term abortions. We're talking about abortions all the way up to the 9th month. And in Virginia, they allowed abortions after the baby's been born, meaning by that, after the mom's given birth, she can decide after that with the doctor to decide to get rid of the baby. Now, what they don't tell you is they don't just kill the baby right away. There's a massive market for organs. And so what they do is they take that baby, if the mother decides she doesn't want it, they have a special ward in these hospitals, specifically for these rejected babies, they call them, and they preserve them and keep them alive. Meanwhile, there's active bids for their organs, because organs from a live, you know, baby or living being are worth more than $500,000, especially when you talk about kidneys, you know, livers, hearts, all these organs. Versus if the person's already dead, they're only worth about $50,000. So there's a huge market for this stuff. And this is another aspect of it that no one talks about. But people buy into this nonsense propaganda of it's about a woman's right to choose. That's all nonsense. It has nothing to do with women on anything.
I do remember a show I did on eugenics. It was about maybe a year and a half ago. That back then, you know, they would have women that were, well, they don't say the word retarded anymore, but, you know, women that, you know, special needs women. And they were groups of people that decided, you know what, we can't let these women have babies, so they fixed them. A lot of them they fixed with permission, a lot of them they fixed without permission. Matter of fact, downtown Raleigh, there is a placard that, and I think I might have taken a picture of it. I can't remember, but they had a placard downtown where they talked. They had, you know, they have the little monumental things, and they talked about that. And they used to do that stuff here in the state until about 70. It's some. I want to say 75 or something like that, where they would sterilize women that they felt that, you know, that shouldn't be able to have kids. So they went ahead and fixed them. And there was a big thing about that, and I did think that was rather mad. Some of the stories, it's like I said, it's been a while since I've done that story, but you know, hearing some of these women just talk about what happened to them was really, really jacked up. But yeah, I'll read it in just a second, but yeah, the white population in this country has gone down. Matter of fact, just down to a 32-year low. So they've got to build these numbers back up. So, yeah, it all of this is part of a plan, the plan. You know, some people may say it's Illuminati. I don't know. Matter of fact, I don't even know what the Illuminati is, but people have been saying that, you know, this is all part of that, the evil worldwide plan or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, all of a sudden, all of these states, you know, especially in the South, are coming up with all these kind of things, Georgia, Alabama, I think Mississippi's got one. I think the latest one now is Missouri, I believe. You know, and you would think that, you know, this, all the crap that we're going through now in this world, this is, you know, just you know, it's one of those things where you think you've gotten through one problem, then another one pops up. So now, you know, we're talking about this stuff. We're talking about the possibility of war. We're talking about corruption in the government. I mean, all kinds of stuff. There's just a whole lot of crazy crap going on around here. It's nuts. It's nuts. And I'm surprised that a lot of us, you know, people that are thinking, that we're still able to think, you know, with all this stuff going on around us, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. You know, sometimes I, you know, think how we even get through all this stuff without us losing our freaking minds on all. I have no idea. I don't know. But I'm glad you called because you
brought some
information
to the,
you know, a lot of people.
You have to understand the internet has changed the whole dynamic because prior to the internet, the whatever the general school of thought by the elites that they were pushing on the country. They used to be able to control all the media because they had the television media, you know, they controlled the education. So all this, so they used to control. So when it take an issue like abortion, there's a lot of propaganda about abortion that tries to make it seem like it's not that bad. It's not an evil thing they're doing. They're not murdering children. It's just some little procedure where they're just removing cells or skin tissue or something. They try to make it seem like that. The problem is that propaganda doesn't work no more. Why? Because of the internet. People now know what happens in second and third trimester abortions. In a second trimester abortion, this is after the third month of pregnancy, what the procedure they do is they take a catheter tube, which sucks out the amniotic fluid. Now, prior to 3 months, that same tube they use to suck out all the fluid around the baby, they're able to suck out the fetus with that tube because the fetus is small enough to fit in it. After the third month, they can no longer do that. So they use that same tube to suck the fluid out. Then they take an instrument known as a sulfur clamp. This clamp is about 14 inches long. The end of it, the business end, has got 2 to 3 inches, and it's got a rows of jagged teeth on the end. The abortionist reaches into the woman's womb, takes that, grabs on – first he has to grab on the leg, one leg, and he has to yank it. And he has to pull the entire leg, rip the leg off the baby. He then sets it on a metal tray next to him. And he has to go through, do the same thing, get the other leg, get the arm, get each of the organs, the spine. And at the very end, he gets the head. And the way he knows he has the head is when it's about the size of a plum. And when he squeezes on it, it'll crush and white fluid will leak out the woman's cervix. That's the actual baby's brains leaking out. And the reason he has to do it like this and stack everything on this metal tray is because he has to take full inventory of the entire baby's body parts. Because if any part of the baby is left in her womb, it'll lead to a serious infection and she'll die. So this is the process. This is the procedure they do in the second trimester. Now, because of the internet, people know this now. If you go back 20 years ago, people didn't know about this. People had no idea what happened. Because the pro-abortion crowd, because the majority of them are people, their people are in the media, they get to cover this stuff up. And so the reason you're seeing a resurgence in people being pro-life and people trying to cut down on abortions, especially that second and third trimesters, because now we know what they actually do in that operation room. And no person with a conscience can sit there and think that's what they're doing. They're ripping the baby out piece by piece and stacking it on a metal table. And then these same people doing that then preserve the kidney, the liver, the heart, skin tissue, and sell it for profit. And we're allowing this to happen in our country? What's wrong with us? That is the height of evil. To take a weak and vulnerable life like that and treat it like a piece of meat is the most disgusting thing ever. And for people to act like what's wrong with the people of Georgia and Missouri and Alabama and all these states that are trying to cut down on abortion, it's because now they know what they're doing in there. And people are not going to sit back and be quiet and allow that kind of stuff to continue anymore. Those days are over. They can't control the information. They can't hide that stuff no more. And because people know it, people are standing up because people are pissed to think that we're allowing this to happen in our country, to have babies be ripped apart like that and then turn around and be sold. And if they think that we're going to stop, it'll never stop. This is a war that's not going to end until we win. And they might be able to do this in New York and in California and Chicago, and they can butcher babies like their cattle if they want to. But in places where you got a lot of pro-life people, they're going to rise up and they're going to take action. The days of us sitting back is over. And so the battles in this country are going to intensify because information is out there now. You can no longer control it the way they used to. So we're in a new world, man, a new era now. Everything has changed completely. The same thing with illegal immigration. For a while now, the media has been putting out the propaganda that, illegal immigration is not that bad. Oh, it's okay. It's no problem. It's not that many people. Oh, they're just people coming here just looking at working farms. Nah, man. Now we know. We know what's really going on. We know the numbers, massive numbers. Millions of people have come across that border. And we know that a lot of them are engaging in crime. Not some, a large percentage. And they're getting away with crime. And these are people that are committing crimes on repeated times, being sent back, and then coming right back in and committing crimes again. And do you think that people in this country are just going to sit back and say, oh, and we're going to accept this idea, you're going to call us racist and xenophobes and think that's going to somehow bully us into silence, and we're going to sit back and say, you're right, how dare we? Let's leave this border wide open and just let anybody come into the country and just disregard our laws completely. Yeah, that's fine. We'll keep doing that. You know, we're the closed-minded bigots who don't know what we're talking about. We're going to be quiet. Nah, man. It's over. So everyone who's this pro-illegal immigration, if you're pro-abortion, you don't understand what's coming. We're not – this war has just begun, and we're going to change this country. So people need to understand that, man. That's why things have changed, and it will never go back to how it was 10, 15 years ago.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, and, you know, I do remember 20 years ago before we had the internet. Yep. I remember those days. Now we've got information right at our fingertips. You know, computers, phones, I mean, the whole nine. We walk around with computers in our pockets all day long. You know, and I remember days when we didn't have that. So, yeah. Yeah, the information, what do they call it? The information age is out there. So, yeah, there is going to be, we're going to be fighting this for a long time. I don't even, you know, I don't even see the end of this. This is going to keep going and going, you know, because before, you know, we were fighting this thing, but it was kind of underground. There wasn't a whole lot, you know, happening. But now we've got all this information out there. We see this every day, you know, so.
Yeah, and yeah, the numbers are swinging, you know, wildly. You know how many people are becoming pro-life by the massive? It's increasing drastically. Look at the polls, especially younger people, which they're surprised that that's happening. Same thing with the issue of illegal immigration. It doesn't matter if people are Republican, Democrat, Independent. Most people in the country are completely against illegal immigration now. And the propaganda that's being put out there in the news to try to convince us that, no, it's okay that we have illegal immigration and having an open border is no problem, it ain't working no more. Or trying to tell us that abortion is just simply a woman's right to choose, that ain't working no more. You know what I mean? That only works on people who still fall for the propaganda. But that's a small group of people now. The numbers are totally swinging the other way. So the war is being won on our side, not on that side. That side is losing ground. That side used to be dominant because they controlled all the media. But the time when they're dominant is over. So in about 10 years, you're going to see Roe v. Wade will be overturned. Guaranteed that's going to happen. And then after that, we're going to have, if not a wall, we're going to have a serious shutdown on immigration. There's going to be a total revamping of it. And then the third thing they're going to go after is going to be gay marriage. Mark my words on that one. That's going to be the next one. They're going to get that out of the Supreme Court and take it back to the states and let people vote on it in their own state over whether or not their state allows it.
Hmm. Okay.
You know what I mean? Because think about it. The fact that they have to go to the Supreme Court to push this immoral stuff is why they do it. Like, take gay marriage, you go back 2008 when Obama ran for president. They thought because there was going to be this huge Democrat turnout, all right, and a lot of Democrats were coming out to vote, they assumed that all over the country gay marriage was going to pass because people were able to vote on it, like in California. Then what happened? Like in California, black people overwhelmingly voted against gay marriage. It was like a huge amount, and they killed it. And they realize, oh my gosh, there's a lot of states in America that we can't pass it. So what do we got to do? We got to take it to the Supreme Court and force it. That's how they do things, man. That's how they're able to pass evil. Because when they let the people choose, most people still have enough common sense and a conscience to realize when something's wrong, not to support it. So they have to use the Supreme Court to impose it on people. That's why you notice how liberals, for example, they fight so hard over the Supreme Court nominee. Because they realize that the Supreme Court is their only way to try to impose this evil on America and force the American people to take it. Because if they don't have that, they know they can't convince people to vote for it, so they're stuck with trying to force it on us. That's why they know if they lose the Supreme Court, they're not going to be able to force their evil on all of us against our will.
Hmm.
That's the truth, bro.
Yeah,
think about, look how they fight every time there's a potential Supreme Court nominee that's conservative. What's the first thing they say? Oh, are you going to overturn Roe v. Wade? That's all they think about, because they know what's at risk here, because they know what they're – look, if you're defending something that's right or good, you shouldn't have to worry about it being taken out of the Supreme Court. You should be able to go and say, you know what, we're going to pass it in every state. Everyone's going to support it because it's a good thing. But it's not a good thing, and they know it's not a good thing. That's why they're not even honest with what it is. They always say, they always change the wording. They don't say baby, they say fetus. They don't say, you know, you're killing your baby, they say you're ending your pregnancy. You know, they look at the way they even say things. They're not even honest about what's being done here, because they know what it is so evil that they have to like change the wording so that people can accept it. Because if they're straight up with it and they say, listen, we just got women killing their babies because they don't want them, they know that's not going to work, bro. So they have to like, they have to use all these things. Like they'll say, oh, it's about, you know, if a woman gets raped, shouldn't have to have the baby, even though the women that get raped and have an abortion is less than 1% of abortions. And more than 90% of abortions are simply women who just didn't want the baby just out of pure inconvenience. It had nothing to do with their health, had nothing to do with them being raped, had nothing to do with doing incest. But they have to use the rape angle because that's their only way to try to justify something so evil. And to think that men and people in this country, I know black people, most black people in this country still got good morals and values. We don't fall for that kind of nonsense, man. We know evil when we see it. You know, these white people may have given in to this nonsense, but I know most of us haven't. Do you support abortion?
Actually, I'm to the point now where only time I care about it if it's and I'm a little bit older now. I care, but I don't care. If it's somebody in my family, then yeah, I may have issues, so we may have to work it out in the family. But if it's somebody else that I don't even know, if that's what you want to do, knock yourself out. I'm more or less one of those type
right
of people, you know.
I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Well, see, it could be wrong to me, but it might be right for somebody else. I don't know.
Well, come on now, brother. That's not how morality works. You would never say that. Like, if I said to you, you know what, it's okay for me to steal your car, because from my perspective, I think it's okay. But from your perspective, it may not be. But for me, it is. So it's okay for me to go ahead and just take your car. You wouldn't accept that.
Well, see, my morality might be different than yours. We might have different views on that.
No. There's a general universal morality that all of us understand, that it doesn't matter who you are, what culture you're from. There's certain basic morals that we basically all agree on, right? It's wrong to lie. It's wrong to steal. It's wrong to murder, right? It's wrong to take advantage or manipulate or hurt people. We all understand that. Now, people may violate that. But most of us, our conscience intrinsically understands that. That's why you feel guilty when you do those things. To a certain degree, after a while, if you've done it enough, you stop feeling guilty. But when you were a little kid, the first time you lied to your parents, you felt bad about it. But after you've done it maybe 500 times, then your conscience gets weaker. But we all have that intrinsic understanding of basic morality. Because basic morality is based on the one principle of do unto others as you want done to yourself. Right, you don't want to lie to people because you don't want someone to lie to you. So on abortion, we're asking the question here: is this murder or not? Are we shedding innocent blood here? That's the question. And if it's not okay to murder an infant, you know, a 2-week-old infant, and just if you saw somebody take a knife and just stab a 2-month-old infant that was just born, what would you say? Would you sit back and say, you know what? You know, to me, it's not right, but maybe to him, it's right. It's understandable. So
That goes for the same thing. Somebody standing on the street getting murdered on the street. Baby, adult, infant, it doesn't matter.
That's wrong, too.
Still a murder
is wrong either way.
Right. Murder is murder. Even for a baby or for an adult, it's still murder. So it's still wrong.
But it's worse.
So it
doesn't matter
if it's a baby or an adult. It's still murder.
It is worse when it's a baby. You know why? It's the same reason you feel the same way if it was a little child or if it was an older, like an elderly person. Why? Because we understand that there's certain people in our society that are more weaker and more vulnerable and are less capable of defending themselves.
So it's worse when you hurt or attack people who can't defend them. Like, I'm a grown man. You're a grown man, right? You and I, we can defend ourselves. So it's one thing if someone were to attack you or attack me. It's a different thing if someone were to attack, let's say, a three-year-old. You feel what I'm saying? So there's different, varying degrees here. So the more weak and more vulnerable somebody is, the more wrong it is when you hurt them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And then it also goes back to, you know, us two on the phone now, we're rational adults. So we know better. But there are people out in the world that don't know what we know. And we can sit here, we know, you know, us two, we know what's good. We can separate good from bad. But there's other people out there that can't do that. So, you know, what maybe, you know,
right. That's why it's our duty as men and as people to try to help encourage that, right? Like in Nazi Germany,
right.
You had a certain group of people in Nazi Germany that at the time they didn't support what the Nazis were doing, that were against it. They knew it was wrong, but they didn't speak up and they didn't do anything. They were afraid to say anything. They just sat back and were quiet and they allowed it to happen. And so you see, there's an obligation on people. If you know that something's right or you know that something's wrong, just take a stand for it or at least speak up. But to just be quiet in the face of evil and allow evil to continue is just as wrong as committing evil.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing now. And that's why I've been doing this show for like going on 4 years. You know, I'm not type of just sit back and just let everything go on. But there's a lot of people like that that are like that. They see the stuff that's going on in the world and they don't say anything about it because they're either scared to say something or they just don't want to get involved.
And that's,
you know,
that's why
like,
people
you know,
are standing
it's
up to this abortion
problem.
Thing. That's why people are rising up in all these different states and trying to get laws passed
and
try to cut it down. Because for a long time,
and it's both sides.
Is only some recent, right? But this is only recently. Before, what was happening? People were afraid to speak out. People just sat back and we let it happen. And a lot of it happened due out of ignorance because people just didn't know what was going on in these abortion rooms. They didn't know how they were actually doing it. A lot of people had this weird idea that abortions were simply like what they do in the early stage, you know, the first month or two when they just use the tube and they just suck the baby out or the fetus along with the amniotic fluid and just like that. That's what a lot of people thought abortions were. But then we found out, oh, there's more to it. Oh, they're actually in later stages, they actually do procedures where they rip the baby apart and they tear it apart and then they take its organs and they sell its organs for profit. And you got people in Planned Parenthood able to buy Lamborghinis off the money they made because they made millions of dollars in a year just off of selling baby organs. I mean, come on, man. It's crazy. Imagine if someone did that to your child. You found out that, the doctors claimed there was an issue with the pregnancy and the baby somehow wasn't able to make it. Then you turn around and find out, oh, they took your baby's liver, his kidney, his heart, his skin tissue, and they sold it and they made about $250,000. How would you feel about that?
I'd be pissed.
Right, and that's why, to the nth degree. And that's why you got people all around America that are pissed and are calling their senators, calling their congressmen, saying, listen, we're shutting down these second and third term abortions immediately. I'm not going to sit here and allow this barbaric practice to continue in my country if I have a say in it. And that's what these representatives in these states, let's remember, there's a lot of pro-life people all throughout these states, and they're responding to their constituents who are demanding that the change be done. Because, like you said, they're pissed. The way you would have felt if someone did that to your child, that's how they feel. So
now, I would hope that these same pro-life people, that when these babies are born, will have it in their heart to take care of these kids when they show up. Not only care about them when they're in the womb, but care about them when they
What does that even mean? What does that mean? Take care of? What are you talking
that
about?
That means you know, we've got people in government now wants to cut, you know, programs to help people. So, you know, instead of just
wait,
come on,
let me ask you a question. When you were a child, were you on government assistance or did your parents take care of you?
Parents took care of me. I was lucky. I was lucky. I had my parents to take care of me.
No, you weren't lucky. Hold on, time out, bro. You're not lucky. That's what the majority of people deal with. You understand
what
I'm
saying?
Well, that's
what they're supposed to do. That's what I'm so. But that's my point. I've known people that you know lost their lost their homes. I've known people, you know, parents lose their jobs and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a different issue. And in America, we have safety nets for people like that. Like in America, we have health programs.
We're supposed to.
We do have those. It's already in place.
We're supposed to.
If you are a child or if you are a mother with children, below the poverty limit.
People want to cut a lot of these programs. So,
yeah, because
you know,
there's a lot of abuse and there's a lot of overspending. For example, it's one thing when you're talking about, for example, somebody, a mother and children below the poverty limit or the elderly below the poverty limit or if somebody's mentally or physically disabled. Those people are taken care of. They get benefits. They get health care benefits. A lot of them get housing. They get, you know, food stamps. They get a lot of things to take care of their basic necessities. But what we have is we have a lot of people in America who are able-bodied adults, men and women, who aren't physically disabled, don't have a mental handicap, who just want to stay on government assistance their whole life and not even try to really work or try to come up or try to become independent. And they stay on it, not just them, they stay on it generation, and then their children do it, then the next generation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
There's people that abuse our social programs all the time. I mean, just the food stamp program alone, there's so much fraud and abuse. There was a government report just last year that was breaking down how much fraud and abuse in the billions of dollars when it comes to food stamps, of all kind of fraudulent activity going on. You got people getting food stamp benefits who are making six-figure salaries. And so there's all types of stuff. And so what people are saying is no one's against – like I said, there's three groups of people that all Americans support should be taken care of if they need it: the elderly, the mentally, physically handicapped, and single mothers with children under the poverty limit. If you're in those categories – almost every American in this country agrees you should get assistance if you need it. Now, if you're not in those three categories, you should be able to do what everybody else is doing, which is get off your ass, get a job, take care of yourself like everyone else is. Because it's not like all of us out here, we're out here getting it easy. We're all out here busting our butt like everyone else, getting up early in the morning, going to work, not being able to see our kids to make sure we take care of ourselves and go on. Because what if we all said, oh, we're all going to just sit back and want government aid? How about that? How about all of us, the suckers out here that are working, that got a business, that are paying these taxes to pay for these programs? What if we all decided tomorrow, you know what? We don't want to do it anymore. We all just want to sit back and get government aid. Where would the money come from to pay for it? So, you know what I'm saying? There's a balance.
Screwed.
You got to understand.
This country would be screwed.
Exactly.
But yeah.
So all these people talking about these government programs, you got to remember.
But there's also abuse at the top.
That's in every country, sir. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a government in the history of the world that's not been corrupt? Ever? Can you give me one example of a non-corrupt?
No, all of them corrupt.
And why are they corrupt? They're corrupt because human beings are corrupt. And when you get human beings around a bunch of money and power, what happens? They start to do corrupt things. So it's impossible to think you're going to have a government that is not corrupt. That goes without even saying, especially when you talk about America, where you got an economy that's worth more than $15 trillion a year, and you got the most powerful military in the world, and you're the most dominant country on the planet. You're going to have corruption like crazy. You can't have this kind of power and wealth and expect not to be corruption. What you want as a citizen is you want to at least minimize the corruption and not affect the lives of everyday people. And in America, we've been able to achieve that to a certain degree, unlike in other countries like Venezuela, as an example, where the government is so corrupt that it has a massive effect on the regular citizens' lives to the point where they have a real limit on their freedom. They're struggling to eat. You can't even defend yourself. I mean, it's unbelievable. So it's a lot worse in other places, man.
Yeah, and I hope it doesn't get any worse in this country. I mean, this country's jacked, and we know it. This country's been jacked from day one, and we know it. But the thing,
what are you comparing America to?
Well, America's not perfect. America's corrupted.
I know that, of course.
We know this.
But no country is perfect. So my question is, which country are you comparing America to when you say that America's jacked? Compared to who?
Well, we're pretty much all equal because we're all jacked up.
Right.
Everybody's
so my point is,
everybody's corrupt,
if you compare America to all these other countries, it's really hard to find another country that's actually better, and it's really hard to find another country that you want to live in. Like, I've got family live all over the world. I've been to Europe. I got mm-hmm. family living in Europe. I'm from Africa. I've been to Africa. I got family living in the Middle East. And so having been in other parts of the world, I can tell you this from my personal experience, and I think it's a fact, that America is the best place to live. And I wouldn't switch my U.S. citizenship with any other country citizenship for all the – you couldn't pay me to move. I don't know why anyone would want to leave here. This is why you got everybody in the earth trying to come here. You know, we don't got a bunch of people trying to leave America to go to Canada or go to Mexico, or they're trying to get on the first boat or plane to go to Europe or go wherever. Everyone's trying to come here. I mean, have you ever heard of somebody saying, man, I got to get out of America? You know, I got to find a way to sneak into Canada. Have you ever heard that?
I haven't heard it personally. I'm sure there's probably people thinking about it, but nobody's told me anything.
Well, come on now, brother. No one's thinking that. Are you kidding me? Like, because we all know the truth.
There might be somebody thinking that right now.
America's the best place to live.
We've got billions of people in this country, and I'm sure there's not just one person saying, you know what, I really want to get the hell out of here. I'm sure there's probably one or two people like that. I just don't know.
They might be crazy, but we're talking about the general school of thinking. Most people are trying to come into America, whether they're trying to come from South America, Central America, other parts of the world. I know I got family who live up in Winnipeg in Canada, and they would love to come down here. They'd rather be in America than in Canada. And so all I'm saying is that Americans, because I understand it's a perspective issue, like, because I said, because I'm an immigrant myself, and I've been abroad a lot, and I've been in the military, and I've been in other parts of the world, so at least I have a different outsider's perspective. I understand if you grew up here, been born here, and maybe you haven't spent any time in other parts of the world, so you don't have an appreciation for how good it is to be in America. But America is by far the best place to live for a regular, everyday citizen like you and I. As far as freedom and economic opportunity, there's nowhere else I'd rather live. Nowhere. I'm just telling you. And I've been – I got family living in Norway, in Germany, in France. I spent a lot of time there. A lot of people think Europe's the same. I spent a lot of time there, and every time I come back from Europe, I almost want to kiss the ground. That's how much I prefer being in America, because it's a lot better. But unfortunately, a lot of people who live in America don't have that appreciation, because you grew up here, and so you don't. It's kind of like a kid who grew up rich, and because he's got all this stuff, then you got a kid down the street who grew up in homeless, living on the street. And it's like that rich kid, it's like if his family, let's say, went to McDonald's and bought him a cheeseburger from McDonald's, he's going to look at that like, oh, that's trash, you know, because that kid's used to eating filet mignon and caviar. But that kid living on the street would look at that cheeseburger like it's the greatest thing he's ever seen. And he would love every single bite of it. It would be special to him. That's the mentality, is that Americans, you have a freedom and a level of opportunity that's so high here, and you take for granted things like running water, electricity available 24 hours a day, good infrastructure, a lot of job opportunity. The unemployment rate is like 3.6%. That means more than 97% of people in America have jobs. You know what I mean? Like, you live in a country where you have the freedom of religion, the freedom of expression. You can get on this radio show and say anything you want about the government. You're not worried about, you know, government officials showing up to your house tomorrow ready to arrest you or just kill you publicly. And kill you and your family, like what happened to my family when we lived in a communist country, where I had almost all my mother's side of the family was murdered, just because they spoke out against the government.
What country is that? What country is that?
Oh, Ethiopia.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we had a communist dictator for a while, and if you were in any, if for example, if you were doing this radio program in where we were, and you would get on here and you would say anything critical about the leader, about the government, or about anything the government's doing, they would just kill you. There was no trial or anything. If you were lucky, they would take you to a work camp and throw you in prison, and just, you know, you would work the rest of your life until you died. But more oftentimes than not, they just killed you right there. And, you'd be lucky if it was just you. Oftentimes, they would take out your whole family with you. And everybody will live in this state of paranoia, because it was like, you know, let's say you had a beef with somebody you knew, like let's say your next-door neighbor had a problem with you. Now, if he had a problem with you, what would happen? He could go to the government and say, hey, I'm going to report so-and-so because he was being critical of the government, or he's pushing anti-government ideas, and that was enough to get you killed or get sent to prison. So everybody was living in this paranoia state, totally worried, you know, what's the government going to do to him? Is somebody going to report him? You know, and everywhere you went, you had to have papers, because everywhere there were soldiers and people that did all these checkpoints to make sure where you were going, why you were going there. You know what I'm saying? So Americans, they've never experienced this. You live in real freedom where you don't have these fears or this paranoia. You don't know what it's like to live in that kind of condition. You know, people who came from Cuba, as an example, they can tell you. People who came from the Soviet Union, they can tell you because they understand what it's like to live like that. And so my point is that in America, I understand there's problems in this country. I understand there's corruption with the government. I understand that America's had a whole bunch of racial issues and issues about civil rights and all that. I totally understand that. And I know that African Americans in particular had to overcome a lot in their history, and that's why I have a huge level of respect for them. But when it comes to, you know, what it could be, it's a lot better than it could be. You get what I'm saying? Because it could be a whole hell of a lot worse in a way that most Americans – I don't think they're aware of. And so I just think Americans should take the time just to be a little bit appreciative of what you got and say to yourself, listen, I'm blessed to be living in America in 2019. I could be living in Afghanistan with the Taliban on my butt every day, right? You could have been living in 1865 and had some real issues. You feel what I'm saying? So,
You know, tell me about
You know, and then think about it. Like right now, there's more than 7 billion people on the planet. Out of that 7 billion, 85% of them live off of less than $200 a month of income. They don't have running water. They don't have electricity. They don't have all these basic things that we take for granted that we have access to, right? Public education, public health resources, like actual clean, healthy food to eat. They don't have any of that. That's 80% of more than 7 billion people. Now, you happen to be blessed to be part of this small percentage of people that live in America where you have clean running hot and cold water, you get electricity available to you 24 hours a day, you got a bed to sleep in, you have multiple changes of clothing, I'm assuming, you probably have multiple different shoes to wear. I don't know if you have a car or not, but at least, even if you don't have a car, you have access to public transportation, you're able to have a job, you know, you're able to get public education all the way up until the end of high school. And so there's so many things that you get as an American that you do, like, you assume, oh, everybody lives like this, but they don't. And everybody's looking at you guys like, wow, these people are living like kings, you know? So it's just something to think about, man.
Yeah. Ooh, that was deep because, you know, I haven't been outside of the country yet. I'm thinking about doing it, you know. I've got that on the list. I did want to go to London, see how that's like, you know, from all the talk and all that kind of stuff, and then maybe somewhere else, whatever. But yeah, I mean, you make a good point because you know it's different than you know if you lived, you know, a certain way of life, and then somebody else lives a totally different way than you live. Then of course there's going to be some differences, and then you know the only way to understand each other is to, you know, do like we're doing, talk, and then it's like, you know what, I did this, I, you know, wow, I've never done that before, you know, or you know, I do this way, you do it a different way, but you know, it's pretty much, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, cultures and all that type of thing, you know, we're pretty much the same people, but we just, you know, we live in different parts of the country, different parts of the world. And, you know, and a lot of stuff, you know, actually a lot of the issues that we have in the world, if we would just sit down and talk to each other about them, you know, I think a lot of the conflicts and stuff that we have, you know, we'd get over them because, you know, a lot of stuff that people beef about are just really stupid things. And a lot of it just, you know, we just don't understand each other.
Right.
You know, just,
like,
you know,
like where are you
we
from?
We may do it.
If you don't mind me asking.
I'm in North Carolina, born and raised here.
Okay, so then you're a perfect example then, right? So you know, you as a Southern Black person, you have a very different culture than let's say Black people that live up in the Midwest in Chicago or up in New York out in California, right? You know that Black people in the South,
right.
You're more conservative.
Yeah.
You have more people are Christian. I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but you know that most people still go to church. They have a more of a traditional values. And so the way your people in your part of the country view the world is completely different than people in New York do. So just even within your own country, you got a massive, you have totally different cultures in different regions of America.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because the way I think might be different than the way somebody thinks on the West Coast or in the Midwest, you know. So we all got, you know, we're all Americans, but we all do different, you know, we've all got different things that we do. because I could, you know, somebody from, I'll say, matter of fact, I work with some people. I'll just pick one guy. He's from New York. So when he moved here, it was a culture shock to him because a lot of the things they do up north, we don't do here.
Right.
Like for instance, food, you know, our food is different than the food they have up there. And I know because I've been up there, you know, so it's different. So when you're new to this area or, you know, if I went up there, then I'd have to learn different things, different food, you know, stuff like that. So when he came here, he was talking to us like, you know, I didn't know you guys do this. Or I didn't know, you know, it's just different to him because he's never experienced it. And it'd be the same way if I went to, if I went out west or if I went to the Midwest, you know, they do things different or up north, you know, they do different things there that we don't do here. And we do things different here than they don't do up there. So it's just, you know, we do basically the same things, but it's just the way we do things. So, yeah. It's just, you know, a lot of it is just, you know, misunderstanding. It's just, you know, you might do something. Somebody look, what are you doing? You know, if you put ketchup on eggs, somebody might say, ew, what are you doing? It's, you know, just the way I was raised, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, talking to him is funny.
It's like we saw in the 2016 election. Think about it.
Right.
People say, for example, they'll say, well, Trump is really terrible, and some people think he's a second coming to Hitler, and he's the worst president ever, right? But then remember at the time, a lot of people had a really negative view of Hillary Clinton, and she had a whole, like, you know what I mean? A whole list of issues on her side. And so you had part of the country, it basically was like part of the country hated Trump more and part of the country hated Hillary more. It was like no one was really like excited for either one, but it just became an issue of preference. Who did you like less, basically, was the situation. And that's how we voted. And it's funny now you see people talk about the president. It's like they forgot who he ran against. Like he wasn't running against Mother Teresa. You know what I mean? He's running against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
It's like one of the most corrupt politicians in the history of America. And it's like, you know, it's just perspective sometimes you've got to remember. You know, I mean, look who's coming up now. We got Joe Biden, who you can make a case as a borderline pedophile and a creep, and is engaged with massive corruption with him, his son, and his brother with the Chinese, which a lot of people, for whatever reason, aren't aware of how much money they're making and how many deals they have in place, and which is part of the reason why the Chinese are refusing to make a trade deal with Trump, because they feel confident that Biden's going to get elected in 2020, and because they've had so many, you know, under-the-table dealings with him, his brother, and his son, they feel like when he gets in power of president, he'll give them a favorable deal. And so they feel like, why do we have to resort to making a deal more favorable to America if we're going to potentially get a president who's going to be in our back pocket? You see what I'm saying? And so because people don't think about the bigger picture, things they fall for this, oh, you know, Trump's not as nice as Biden or whatever. You know, even though Biden's a pedophile, by the way, I'm just put that out there. You can disagree with all you want, but there's plenty of video showing that the guy's a total creep and that he touches children and women in a way that shouldn't be done. And he does it on camera, which is unreal. But it is what it is, man.
Well, I think this is, you know, because I was hearing that the last election, a lot of people were voting, closing nose, you know, kind of what do you call it, the lesser of two evils. And that's probably going to be the same way next year. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier about corruption. It's like, you know, us two, we want at least the ideal thing is to have a government that is not so corrupted that we can't trust them to do what we elect them to do. But it's like now, it's like, who do you trust? It's kind of like, you know, Tony Montana, like, who do you trust? I mean, somebody's
got
to get elected.
Well, you got to ask yourself, what info are you getting? Like, with Trump as an example, what has Trump done that you would view as that has a negative effect on your life?
I tell you what, if this terror thing, with these terrorists and everything, you know, because the prices now, I haven't seen anything major happen yet, but, you know, well, we both know that inflation, you know, the rate, our wages haven't risen in who knows how long. Stuff is getting to be expensive now. And, you know, like I said, it hadn't affected me yet. But, you know, it's something that I think about because, you know, I don't want to spend
an extra amount
of, you know, for stuff that, you know, you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand that.
So my question is, he campaigned
on that, right? Remember? Did Trump campaign about trade deals and tariffs and going against the Chinese and all that?
Yeah.
Okay, now, why did he campaign on it, and why did people support him before that? Ask yourself a question. Why was that? Why was he even bringing that? Like, what's the issue that he's bringing up?
Well, from what I understand, you know, Chinese, because, 95% of everything we use is made in China. And, you know, they were, you know, and I'm not, you know, like I said, it goes back to corruption because, you know, we're all corrupted to, you know, whatever. So almost everything we buy is from them.
Right.
They're just taking in all the money. And we have no, I won't say we don't have any control, but, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you can buy something, flip over the thing, made in China, made in Taiwan, made in Philippines, whatever. So until we, and I don't know, you know, and I do remember back in the day that we did have factories in this country that used to make stuff. Now, almost everything that we have goes, you know, all the owners got to do, close down the factories, ship everything overseas because, you know, that makes them more money in their pocket. So it's all about money and profit and power and all that kind of stuff. So everything I'm sitting at a desk now, you know, it's just, you know, China. Everything's China. Yeah.
Right. So think about what you said there. Now, remember, 1955, 85% of all the world's manufacturing done in the United States of America. Now, like you said, it's more than 90% of it is done in China, Vietnam, South Korea, basically Asian countries, and a little bit of Mexico.
Yep.
But it's mostly China, right?
Right.
Now, you said yourself, back in the day when those manufacturing jobs were here, what used to happen back in the day? You used to have a single income. A man used to go work a blue-collar job without a college degree. You didn't even need a high school diploma. If you had a GED, that was all that was required. And you were able to have basically a middle-class income. Right, especially if you lived in, you know, parts of the country, you know, in the Midwest, even in down south, like North Carolina, that was the case because you had a big textile industry as well down there. And so you had people were able, and why were they able to have a good living? Because the manufacturing is done here, companies had to hire American workers. So what did the American workers do? They unionized, they formed a collective, and they collectively bargained to get higher wage, higher benefits, more work safety, more time off, more paid vacations. And because of that, that's why it got to the point where it used to be where one person used to be able to work and you could have a middle-class life. That's how it got to that point. Now, these businesses realized we need to change it up. Why? Because the leverage was on the worker side. You get what I'm saying? Because they had to hire us to do manufacturing. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So they had to come up with a way to get the leverage on their side so they wouldn't have to pay us all the money and gave us all these benefits. So what did they do? They went to these politicians, started paying them off and said, listen, we need to create trade deals and we need to then invest into places like China and help develop their infrastructure so that we can move there and do our manufacturing there and build our products for cheaper while we pay them 10% what we would pay an American to do it. And we need you politicians to make these trade deals so that we don't get taxed that much or even none at all when we bring those products into America. So we basically save money on two fronts. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what they did.
Right. Yep.
And that's why both the Democrats and the Republicans went along with it, even though it was hurting us. That's why it got to the point where all the manufacturing is in China. And that's why you see the Midwest and even in North Carolina, you saw where all these factories shut down. People lost all this money. You know, now it's gotten harder to get by. Wages haven't gone up. And so when Trump runs for president, he starts campaigning on that. And what ends up happening? People in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, all these states, North Carolina, all these states that were heavily affected by those trade deals and how it took all those good-paying manufacturing jobs and blue-collar jobs away from them. And they know how they were devastated by that. When this guy comes in and says, I'm going to fight to undo that, I'm going to take the war back to China, and I'm going to fight to give us better trade deals so that we have the leverage again. What do you think those people heard? You think those people cared about him grabbing pussies on the Access Hollywood tape? You think the people cared about him tweeting? You think the people cared about how he was acting? Nah. Because what they saw was somebody finally spoke up about an issue that devastated a whole chunk of America. And they said, I don't care what this guy's like. If he's willing to fight for us in this issue, we're going to support him. And that's what they did. And that's why you saw him basically run the table in the Midwest. They were stunned, right? They couldn't believe that, like, we can't believe Trump won Pennsylvania. We can't believe he won Michigan. We can't believe he won Ohio by a big margin. Because all these states were supposed to go blue. They always go blue, most of them, except Ohio's the only one that kind of swings. But the rest of them, they haven't voted Republican since the early 80s. But because he focused on this issue, that's why people got behind him. But there's people in this country who don't understand that. Like you said about perspective, they don't know, they don't understand how these people's lives have been affected by these trade deals and what happened to them when all these jobs left. And so because they don't understand where these people are coming from and the issues that affect them, that's why they don't understand why these people voted for Trump. They don't get it because they weren't affected by those issues, those things that affected them. You get what I'm saying? And so
instead of taking time to understand,
and so the only person I saw in the media that actually took the time to understand was Van Jones from CNN. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a the brother on CNN with the glasses. So he did a, he did a documentary called The Messy Truth, in which he went to Pennsylvania and Michigan and Ohio, and he sat down with families to talk to him because he was meeting people who were Democrats who had voted for Obama twice but decided to vote for Trump in 2016. And he wanted to understand, why did you guys vote for this guy? You know, you guys are lifelong Democrats. You all voted for Obama twice. Why would you turn around and vote for Trump in 2016? And consistently, they all brought up that same issue, the trade deals, losing all these jobs that we used to have. You know, look how it affected our families. You know, our grandfather used to be able to go and work and provide for the whole family. And now we're struggling. We're living check to check. We don't have anything. Our town is almost completely crumbled. Our factories are shut down. All the businesses are closed. And so this guy brought up the issue that affected us the most, and that's why we're supporting him, even though we're not Republicans, even though we don't vote Republican ever, but we're willing to vote for this guy because he spoke to an issue that affected us. And so instead of people in America, in New York, in Chicago, in L.A. trying to understand why do these people want to vote for this guy, instead they wanted to dismiss them and call them a bunch of racist xenophobes who hate immigrants and hate black people. And it's like, nah, bro, they didn't do that because these same people voted for Obama. So the issue with them is not race. The issue is actual issues that affected their lives. And if somebody on the Democrat side was willing to stand up and speak up about the same issues that affected them, they would turn around and vote for you. But because you ignore these people and you don't care about them, you don't care about the issues, and because these corporations and businesses that profit from our current trade deals are buying off all you politicians, that's why they don't support you. That's why none of them ever said anything. Whether they be Democrat or Republican, either one, none of them said a word about it. But this guy, who's not a politician, was willing to speak up about it because, unlike these politicians, he didn't earn his living from politics. He made his money, you can call it, he may have done it crooked, but he made it outside of politics. So he's not coming out of that system, you feel me? So that's what it is, man.
Yeah.
So people got deeper than the propaganda level. People got to use your brain, man. You got to think more. Don't let the media fool you with their narratives, man. And ask yourself, you know, why are all the Democrats and Republicans against Trump? Think about it. Have you ever seen a president be opposed by his own party like this? Was Obama opposed by the Democrats? Was Bush opposed by the Republicans? Never. We have never seen this before. And the reason is he's not on their team. Why is he not on their team? Because he's not on the payroll that they're all on. You feel what I'm saying? That's the only reason this guy is willing to fight the trade war. If he was on the same payroll that all the other Republicans and Democrats were on, this guy would not be engaging in a trade war with China. Because he would have been bought off and he would have gone along with the status quo.
I got about 10 minutes left, but I will say this. I think one of the biggest mistakes this country made was right after the Second World War, when everything was said and done, they went into Japan and rebuilt Japan. Because for a while, a lot of the stuff we were getting was made in Japan. And then China flipped it or whatever, and then, you know, a lot of stuff we get made in China. But, you know, a lot of, you know, when's the last time you bought a TV made in America? Probably in the 70s, maybe. I want to think about Magnavox. Yeah, because we had a floor model I think it was Magnavox. Bought it from Sears.
Right, but you called it a mistake. Think about that. That's a mistake depending on who you are. It may have been a mistake for you and me and the regular Americans, but for the business side, the corporate side, the political
that wasn't
a mistake. That was calculated, and they were going to profit from it.
Yep.
So that you know what I mean? So it depends on which side you're looking from.
Right.
That's
know,
why
that,
those,
that's
the same people that you see now that are opposing Trump. Because if you notice it, you have Republicans and Democrats together saying, we need to stop Trump and Trump shouldn't be doing this trade war with China. Why are they doing that? I mean, do you ever ask yourself a question? How come Republicans are joining hand in hand with Democrats against Trump about the trade deal? Shouldn't the Republicans be supporting him and be on his side? But the majority of them are not. The majority of them are against him. I mean, think about that. In your lifetime, have you ever seen that? Ever, where a president's own party was completely against them. So that should then cause you to question and say, wait. Maybe Trump isn't the bad guy that the media, the corporate media is telling me he is. Maybe he isn't as bad as we think he is. Maybe the fact that he made his money outside of politics and that he already has his own money, and so he doesn't need the money the way these politicians do, or he didn't come up in the political system like all these other politicians have, where they got paid off all these years and they got all these connections and all these lobbyists and special interest groups have lined up their pockets and given them all these under-the-table deals and hooked them up once they got out of office. Maybe because he didn't come up that way, maybe he's actually thinking about the interests of the American people. Maybe he might be. And maybe that's why he's willing to fight China on this trade war. I mean, did you ever ask yourself that question, ever think about that?
I will now. I'll start thinking about
that. You know
what I mean? You know.
Right. And then you got to ask yourself, why are they forming a united front to try to demonize and attack this man? You know what I mean? To the point where you had Republicans actively campaigning against him. Why? That makes no sense. And that tells you, and this is the thing, because I didn't like Trump early on. I don't like him as a person. But you ever heard that saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend? And so when I saw all these corrupt elements within government and the media and corporations and all these people that I know are our enemies for the American people, when I saw them come together against this guy, that's when it clicked in my mind. I say, wait, something's going on with this dude. Because if all of my enemies are uniting against him, then maybe this guy isn't my enemy as much as the media is telling me he's my enemy. And that's when I started to look into some of these things, look into some of his policies and see what he's doing. And that's when I started to realize, oh, I see. And now I understand why the media is going 24/7 trying to demonize this guy. They're doing it nonstop. And the reason they're doing it is the same interests that are trying to protect their pockets are the same interests that are paying the media outlets. So they're all on the same team.
Yep. And
so,
it goes right
back
to what we talked about earlier, money. Money and power. That's all that's the bottom line right there. Money and power. Probably started stepping on some toes, you know, and the Chinese lobbied it, you know, people in the government every day. So, you know, all of this, it goes back full circle, all about money, all about power, you know, because, you know, I want my money and I want my power. You can have your money and your power, but just don't come over here trying to step in on my money and step in on my power. It's kind of like, you know, drug territories.
Chinese are about to take over. And the thing Americans need to understand is the Chinese are focused, and they don't have what we have. They don't have a two-party system. They have one-party rule in their country. They've had the same leaders, the same group of people the whole time. It doesn't change because they're communists. And so they focus on the long term, whereas our politicians, they're always caught up in the short term. What can benefit them to get them elected? And so they emphasize the short term, and oftentimes it hurts us in the long run because they're so short-sighted.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So. When it comes to this
and then a lot of times,
what Trump's doing go ahead.
And I'm gonna say, and then a lot of times, you know, either they're gonna be in office for 2 years or 4 years, so it's not, you know, it's not something that's gonna be, you know, have longevity, because, you know, by the time, you know, if it's somebody new, by the time they get started, doing their job, it's almost time to get ready to get reelected again if you want those 2 years,
That's why I support him with the trade deal. Exactly, because Trump's not going to – he's not going to see the benefits from this trade war. The benefits are not going to kick in while he's president, even if he gets reelected. The benefits are going to kick in 10, 20, 30 years down the road. And if he's successful in this, he could drastically change the lives of a lot of people in this country and improve our lives significantly. But he won't be there to be able to get credit for it. And so that's why I respect him, that he's willing to take the short-term hit for what's in the long-term good for the country. You see what I'm saying? Because if this was something that, he could just do and it's going to work out in a year and he's going to get credit, then I could be like, oh, he's selfishly motivated. He just this and that. But when you're willing to do something that you know for a fact you're not going to get credit for, and the benefits are going to happen 10, 20 years later when you're not going to be there to take credit for it, and in the short term there's going to be all type of negative stuff and you're going to get blamed for it, I can't help but respect that. That's character to me. Even if he's a flawed person, the fact that he's willing to do that earned my respect, because he's doing the right thing. Even if it's going to hurt him in the short run, it's going to help the country in the long run. And I've never seen a politician in my lifetime do that, ever. Every politician I've ever seen, Republican, Democrat, they always are in the short run, the short term, what benefits them so they can get reelected. I never see them ever think long term, what's in the benefit of the country, never. So the fact that he's doing this, I can't help. And for those who aren't aware of what's going on with China, PBS does a documentary. They have a series called Frontline. This just came out. You can go to YouTube and watch it. It's called Trump's Trade War. And obviously PBS, everyone knows, is it's a public network. It's pretty liberal. So they're not some conservative biased thing here, right? And in that documentary, right, they do a real in-depth analysis of the whole trade war, what's going on. They talk to people from every different perspective. They really break down what China's actually doing, because it's not just the jobs. They're actually forcing American businesses who are operating in China to give over all the copyrighted information, all the technology, surrender everything so that they can take it and give it to their Chinese businesses so they can then take over those industries. And so there's a lot of stuff going on. And so it's called Trump's Trade War. You can see it for free on YouTube. It's uploaded by PBS. It's from the Frontline series. I just watched it yesterday. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was one of the most well-done documentaries I've ever seen. And so for those who want to be more educated on what's up going on with this trade war, that's a good source. And it's an unbiased source. Well, I felt like they were really objective and they broke it down.
Well, I'm going to check that out. Matter of fact, I've got to work this weekend. And while I'm at work, I'm going to check this out while I'm not doing anything, because it's going to be dead as I don't know what. But I didn't get your name. What's your first name, brother?
Yeah, my name's David.
David, okay. Let me put that on here, because I'm putting you on my list, because I tell you what.
Oh, you're putting me on the list of do not take this call?
I'm putting you on the list so when you do call back, I can recognize your number and I can get you on, because, you know, even though this wasn't the topic that I was going to talk about tonight, but we spent an hour and a half talking about stuff, which is good. So, no, I'm not putting you on the do not call list. No. I'm putting you on the list that whenever your number pops up for a show down the line, you will definitely be getting in. And I do appreciate you calling in. I do appreciate you calling, because I do like new callers calling in. And like I said, you know, we all got different, you know, beliefs and, you know, all that stuff, which is cool. That's what this is all about. You know, because I don't claim to know I know everything, because I don't. But, you know, I think it's important that we, you know, even though we may differ, we may have different ideas on different things, it is important that we do talk to each other with respect and we have a conversation. And we just had an hour and a half conversation. Where else can you do that? Talk about politics
and
stuff like that.
Goes, iron sharpens iron, right? It's good to engage with people you disagree with, because it can sharpen your ideas, sharpen, you know, what you know. Mm-hmm. So, but I really appreciate you taking my call and your patience with me and dealing with me. I really appreciate that. You're really a good person, man. I gotta give it to you.
You know, I tell you what, I appreciate you calling in, because, like I said, you know, we had this long talk. You gave me homework to do this weekend, And even though, you know, we have different, you know, different views on things, you still on the list, brother. I got you. So whenever you call back again, you know, feel free to call back anytime you want. Usually I'm on every Tuesday talking about different things.
Okay.
So, you know, whenever you feel like calling in, you know, hey, the invitation's out there. You can call in anytime you want to. I do appreciate you calling. I really do.
Yeah, same. Likewise,
thank
sir.
You.
I really appreciate it
thank
as well.
You.
Yeah, you have a
thank
good
you.
Night, sir. Thank
oh,
you very
oh,
much.
No problem. No problem. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Yep.
And
yeah,
we are going to end this. Hey, you too. Appreciate it. So we're going to do a part two on this. I'll save these topics, and no, I'll save these clips and these articles for next week. We'll just do a part two on this. And like I said, I'm going to do homework this weekend and check that out on PBS. And I'm going to say this before I go. I don't know everything. I don't pretend I know everything. I don't want to know everything. But I do this show because I have a different take on things. And people listening may have an opposite take of what I'm talking about. If you have an opposite take, and I've got a list of people that usually call, I've got, you know, regulars that call, and we don't all agree on everything, which is fine. Which is fine. We don't get into, you know, I'm going to throw you through a window and all that. We don't do that kind of stuff here. We talk. And that's what this is all about. You know, we don't scream at each other. We don't, well, last week I think we had a little screaming match. But anyway, but, you know, that was a great call. I'll save this topic for next week. And we'll finish talking about this. And if you want to call in, 563-999-3682, call in. Give me your take on what, you know, what we're talking about. And we'll talk about it for an hour and a half. That's what this is all about. So until then, I'll see you next week. Peace out.